Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
After thanking children who are sending in offerings to give to the orphans with Home of Refuge, I read a letter written by a wife who is concerned because her husband is depressed about his job. But Darren brings up the fact that depression is only a symptom of a deeper spiritual root. We bring up the areas of fear and pride and unforgiveness, which may indicate that maybe things aren't working out according to your plans, and you're allowing anger, fear, or unforgiveness to take over. As we discuss unforgiveness, Darren gives a solution to bring freedom into your heart and life. God's will is to bless you, but it's important that you get rid of the junk that's clogging up the communication lines between you and your Heavenly Father. Now let's join the program.
You have a wonderful letter there in your hand, don't you?
Yes, and I forgot to bring the letters of the Yost family. The children all sent letters, and they sent their Christmas money that they'd gotten for Christmas for the Home of Refuge,
really?
For the orphanage, for the children, and I forgot that this morning, but we did get
they're over in Nebraska, aren't they?
Yes, and thank you so much. I remember three of the children's name, Caitlin, Logan, and Coda, but I don't remember the other little boys, and they're so precious.
We'll call them number four.
Forgive me. No, not number four.
Okay.
And so, and so we have a letter here from Shelby, and it's, "Dear Darren and Barbara, how are you? I am fine. I'm writing you to thank you for the Veggie Tales. I really like it. Thanks for your newsletter. Tell Barbara hi. I enjoy your program very much. I'm sending you $5. And Shelby, we're going to apply this $5 with the other, I think we got $46 from the Yost children. God bless you. We're going to give it to the Home of Refuge. And it's going to bless them.
Where's Shelby from?
Lyman.
Lyman, Colorado.
It's a wonderful little letter. And we just appreciate the letters from the children. That's wonderful. Praise God.
We have a letter here that's really, I'm going to say it's a treasured letter, because this lady is so gifted in explaining what's going on. But she said, "May I ask for prayer help? I've never asked this before. It's difficult, and I'm not even sure why. I got a phone call coming in." So I'm going to hold this letter
because
I want to treat this right.
Yeah.
It's a great letter, and it will strike a chord with so many of you that are, you know, in an employment change.
Transition.
And,
yes.
you know, you may be looking at the wrong thing of why you're having problems. And I think
yes.
we can help this lady. Well, let's talk to Sean. Hello, Sean.
Hello, Darren, Barbara. This is Sean Anselmo. I don't know if you remember my father.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Steve Anselmo, but.
I remember.
Yes.
I was talking about your dad a couple of days ago. Matter of fact, a lady came to our meeting, and she said she talked to somebody on the phone and received a marvelous healing. And I said to Barb, "That person talked to Anselmo."
Yes, to Steve. We were talking about your dad just the other day, and I remember having dinner with you, and you were really young. How old are you, Sean?
Well, I'm 31 now.
Oh my goodness!
Yeah. Tack that on.
No,
Barb.
I'm not.
So, how you doing, Sean?
I'm doing great. I just wanted to praise God for you, and welcome back to the airwaves. And it's great to hear your voice on the radio. It's only by chance that I even caught your program the other day, and I just praising God for your ministry, and I've entered the ministry myself. And
praise God. Do you have a church?
No, I'm just started a newsletter from our home, my family and I, and it's going to follow up with my dad's newsletter and his prison ministry. So
good.
Mm.
Yeah,
wow.
we're looking forward to seeing what God's got in store for us.
Well, I'll tell you,
exciting.
Your dad was helped me out in Tulsa, Oklahoma one time. And I won't go into the whole story, but I'll tell you, he was there for me. And then he worked with me in Fort Collins for quite a while. And there's a wonderful anointing on your father and mother's lives.
That's right.
Amen. Praise God. I just wanted to thank you guys encourage you. You're doing a great job, and I appreciate the words of God that he gives to you guys.
Well, thank you, sir.
Thank you, Sean.
I hope you'll take time to give our office a call and leave your address.
I would certainly do that.
Okay, here's the number, Sean. Well, I guess if you can hang on, I'll just have our engineer take it. How'd that be?
Okay. Thank you very much.
Sean, it's good to hear from you.
Good to hear from you.
You're married? You're married now?
Yeah, married and 3 children.
What's your little wife's name?
Patricia and Elmo.
Patricia. Wonderful. Okay. Well, we just bless you, Sean.
Well, thank you.
I know there's a wonderful anointing being passed down from your father, and that's good. Next time you see your dad, have him give us a call.
Okay. Praise God. I will.
God bless.
God bless you.
Okay.
Wow.
Oh, God is... I'll tell you,
calls
God is,
from out of the past.
Yes.
Wow.
Amen.
That's just really...
Well, I'll tell you, I watched Steve, and he was a wonderful man for us on the prayer lines.
Mm-hmm.
And
he was
a
man
anointing.
Of prayer. That's right.
He was.
He was a man of prayer.
This letter goes on to say, I've never asked for prayer help before. I've never asked anyone. I don't know why. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's pride. And maybe we think it shows weakness, but we haven't asked before. It goes on to say, my husband has been trying to break into a certain business, and I won't name that business. For a whole year, he had to leave another type of business, which is much different by the letter here, but it was driving him to great depression. He loves doing what he's doing now, but it's 100% commission, and he just can't seem to make it work. We're almost out of money, and he's become so depressed and despondent, I'm fearful we're going to lose everything. Is that what's going to happen to us? Pray that we will find suitable work soon. My husband has even looked back to his past job, and we've fasted and we've prayed, and we'll continue. And I guess I struggle with knowing what the Lord's will is here. If Jesus prayed about his Father's will being done, shouldn't we also pray that way? Mm-hmm. Could it be that his will that we go through losing all that we have? Now, I'm going to stop right there. I don't believe it's God's will that you lose all that you have. But I do believe this, that God is trying to get down to a root cause. And I don't believe the depression came on this husband just because of this new work.
That's right.
Or because of a lack of sales income, commission income. And I believe God allows us to go through these things for us to face ourselves and say, well, it wasn't the old job. It's not the new job. Mm-hmm. It must be something wrong inside of me.
That's right.
And I went through a period of time like that when I had to face myself. And I thought it was the circumstances around me, it's my family, my work, my profession, my whatever. And I made a somewhat of a massive change, and that's when I hit the wall, and it was the best thing that ever happened to me because I had to face some things down inside of Darren and cry out for help. And some people prayed for me, and because of their prayer, that's the basis of this ministry, and that's setting people free.
That's
showing
right.
Showing them how to get set free.
Life is hard on us, and so we start building walls, and we start putting layer upon layer. And I feel like this precious lady is just crying out, and I feel so much for her. We weren't given very many details, and I wish she would have written a little bit more about her family, if her husband is born again, if they go to a spirit-filled church, if they have had counseling, because I believe there's a curse going on in this husband's life.
Right.
I believe that there has been depression in his life before, and I believe... that if he is a melancholy at all, that means if he has mood swings. And I'm very aware of that and familiar with that because my previous life was made up of much mood swings. If something didn't work, I'd get very depressed. And if something did work, I'd be flying high as a kite.
But let me tell you though, Barb, that's not just for a melancholic personality.
I understand.
You know, I'm a choleric personality. Mm-hmm. I've had that same thing. And mine came from fear. And from anger. Mm-hmm. When I get frustrated, then what happens a lot of times is the chemical go goofy inside your body, and then the result of that many times is a chemically induced depression.
Yes, but you're not prone to giving up. And there are some personalities that are absolutely prone to giving up. They hide in a corner, they sit in a corner, and they say, well, this is it. I'm just going to face the consequences.
Right.
And you get up, when you get depressed, you get up and you go in another direction. I mean, you begin to do something to take care of that. Well,
let me tell you why, though, Barbara. I absolutely hate to be depressed.
Well,
I hate to be depressed, and I hate to be sick, and I'll fight that with everything that's in me.
See, but that's because you're not a melancholy.
Well, because I know that it pays no dividends.
That's right.
And you get in that spiral, and that spiral accelerates, and you go down, 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 down. Mm-hmm. It gets worse, 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 worse.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a person said to me, I think it was this, I don't know, last 2 or 3 days, they said, you know, I know who it was. Even if it didn't work, I'd still want to be a Christian. I mean, this is better than what the alternative is.
Mm-hmm.
And not exactly what they said, but they said, no, I know what she said. She said, giving up is worse than hanging in there because the alternatives for what's going on. And she was saying, our lives are really tough right now. She's talking about she and her husband and their business. Things are really tough right now, but it's not as bad as giving up.
That's right.
You know, if you give up, I mean, that's just a horrible way to go. That's an option that I personally will not take.
And I would say of this lady who wrote this letter, I don't have your phone number. If you would call our office number, I would really we would really like to get a hold of you. And our office number is area code 303-689-0499. And again, our office number is area code 303-689-0499. We would really like to talk with you because this is a very serious situation, and I believe that God and us and you have the answer. I truly do.
Well, I can tell you one thing.
There's wisdom and counsel in numbers.
When you think about losing everything, there's obviously fear. Mm-hmm. There's frustration. There's going to be some anger.
Oh, it piles up.
You have to fight those at the root level, the spirit level. You have to command that spirit of fear to get out of your life, out of your household. The fear of losing everything, the fear of failure. The husband here is obviously facing a fear of failure, a fear of rejection, a fear of being labeled a loser. Mm-hmm. And I don't think he's a loser.
No,
I mean,
no,
I don't
do
think
not.
That.
I do not feel like he has found his blueprint in life.
That's right.
Truly. And so we would really like to talk to you. And, you know, so many people do not have the right identity. They, like you have said so many times and taught so many times, Darren, they have are carrying a false passport in their billfold, and they do not even realize. And
well, you know, on the high seas, the ship registers in a certain country. So if it's registered U.S., it's going to fly a U.S. flag. If it's Panama, it's going to fly that and whatever. Well, on the high seas, many times, you know, one of the big crimes on the high sea is to fly the wrong type of flag.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been done for hundreds of years. I mean, they've been doing that. But, you know, people also, and I had some wonderful people about a little over 20 years ago say to me, you're carrying false paperwork. Mm-hmm. You believed a lie. You believed what the devil has said about yourself. No wonder you're depressed. No wonder you're confused. No wonder you're going in circles.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, those loving people sat me down. They talked to me for about an hour. Then they lovingly laid hands on me and they cast out a spirit of fear, a spirit of anger, and some other things. They just plain said it has to go in the name of Jesus. Well, we have that power as Christians.
That's right.
And sometimes we are so balled up with our problems and we're so weighed down. It's almost like you see a picture of a kitten playing with a ball of string. Pretty soon that string's around the leg and around their tail and around their body, around their head, around their paws, and they're just a mess. And if something doesn't come along there, they're going to get in a bigger mess. They're going to be all balled up, as we say.
Mm-hmm.
There's some people, Barbara, that are all balled up with all the things that are going on. And then the work doesn't go well, and then the bills start piling up, and this thing starts spiraling into a real mess.
That's right. And this precious lady, I'd like to say that, you know, your prayer and fasting are effective, but your husband, who is the covering, if he is not in agreement with you, there it's going to just stretch out into a longer and a longer dilemma here. And you need to talk with your husband and get counseling. Be in a situation where you and your husband have everything out on the table, really, truly.
Right.
Get gut level honest, and sometimes that hurts. And but be in agreement. And I want to say Jesus' will for us, Darren, is perfect.
Right.
It really is.
It's not to take everything away from us.
That's right. And in the Lord's Prayer, I would encourage you to say the Lord's Prayer, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. God's will for you and your family is perfect in heaven, and his will for you on earth is the very best.
Now
it's not God that's taken it away. It may be the enemy that you have opened a door to allow him to come in to take it away.
Well, you talked about the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6, and you ought to read Matthew 6 because it talks about food and raiment and shelter and all those things and how the birds don't worry about those things, and
that's
yet God provides. But the key is in Matthew 6:33, to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, meaning right standing before him. And all of these things previously listed will be added unto you.
Yes.
Now, let me talk about depression for just a minute. In our country, I don't know what the number is, but I'll bet you it's up in the billions of dollars a year spent with people trying to get rid of depression. If you try to take depression and treat it, you're missing the point because depression is a symptom of something deeper.
That's right.
We talked about some of those root causes being anger and fear and frustration and you know, sometimes when you get, you want to run. You know, you get maybe too many bills and the job isn't going right. Your career has come to an end and you're trying to change careers and locations and all this kind of stuff. And you're not getting it figured out. And the bills keep piling up and the money, if you had any to start with, is quickly going out the door. Well, I'm telling you, folks, unless you address the root cause, in other words, what caused the depression, depression is not a root cause. It's a symptom of something deeper.
That's right. Anger, jealousy, the frustration that we have at the very beginning that something isn't working out according to how we want it to work out. Sometimes frustration sets in, then jealousy because everybody else around us is doing so well and we're struggling. Then
or
anger.
Just a minute, or we think they're doing well.
That's right. And then anger sets in. And then on top of the anger is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness comes in, Darren, and we get hateful and we are unforgiving towards ourselves because we have messed up our life and our family is suffering. We have unforgiveness towards that person or that company that we're working for, and we have unforgiveness towards God. And Darren, some people say, how can you have unforgiveness against God because he didn't do anything? That's absolutely true. But sometimes we make God the scapegoat and we say, God, you can change this. God, why aren't you changing this? And we get angry with God and unforgiving.
Well, and we charge him wrongly. We say, you're the heavyweight here. You're the reason I'm having all these problems.
But he's not.
No, it's the enemy, the devil. Now, let us give you this triangle of forgiveness again, all right? Number one, let's say in the case of this gentleman here that's talked about in this letter, this husband here, probably he needs to forgive the old company he worked for because he got to where he couldn't stand it. So there must be some people there, some circumstances there that he needs to forgive. Some of you today have been listening to a lot of television. You're listening to Y2K. You're listening to the Senate hearings. You're on and on. You're saying, man, this thing's out of control. Well, you might need to forgive the president. You might need to forgive the people that are quote-unquote in charge of the economy. You might need to forgive the Russian government for screwing up their economy or the Brazilians, which was on the air yesterday, and that's affecting us Americans here. What I'm getting at is whoever you resent out there, you need to forgive, number one, and number two, you need to release them totally.
Mm-hmm.
And you do that by saying, as an act of my will, and God will help you do this, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive and release the president, the Congress, the Pentagon, the whoever you're unhappy with, mm-hmm. with the forgiveness of Jesus. Let that forgiveness of Jesus flow through your heart and through your mouth by an act of your will. Mm-hmm. Then number two, as you talked about a while ago, some of you say, you know, I am an absolute failure here. I'm just not a good person. I'm just unworthy. I'm just always messing up. I just didn't work hard enough. I didn't prepare well enough. Because of my failures, my family's
right.
in a mess.
That's right.
Well, you need to forgive yourself as an act of your will. You can say it like this. As an act of my will, I choose to forgive and release myself with the forgiveness and release of Jesus Christ. You need to judge yourself innocent and stop putting yourself down. Number three, then, you need to forgive and release God by an act of your will with the forgiveness of Jesus. And let me tell you, you learn to do that. That's such a wonderful thing. That was given to me by those people that prayed for me.
Mm-hmm. Praise the Lord.
And I praise God for that.
And when we first do that sometimes, Darren, we do need a counselor who is giving us this prayer. Just a little while ago, we prayed with a man, and he willingly forgave everyone that had hurt him. And Darren, as he lifted all that up and forgave and released and forgave and released, the very next day, an absolutely tremendous breakthrough came to him because he gave it up. He gave up all of that offense. And I'll tell you, that really hurts us when we are offended and we keep it inside and it becomes broiling and it's like a pressure cooker.
Sure.
We cannot handle that. And so that's why I'm saying if you, the one that we're talking about, you know who you are. If you would like to have prayer and have Darren pray for you, it's our office number. Get in touch with us at the office number if you can't call us here. And it's 689-0499, area code 303-689-0499.
And now let me talk about this matter of this forgiveness thing. A lot of us look for a feeling. Well, I don't feel like forgiving them, or I don't feel like forgiving myself, or I'm not in the mood. Let me tell you, if you will do what we just suggested, do it mechanically, the feelings will come. But you got to take care of the legal issues first and the vital issues, these conditions of the heart. You need to forgive as an act of your will. Got that? As an act of your will. I give this illustration all the time. We have light on here in the studio because I reached over the wall, and by an act of my will, I mechanically turned the switch on. Mm-hmm. I flipped the switch up. Well, the will works the same way. You need to mechanically set your will, and you set it with your mouth. And you say, when you say, as an act of my will, I choose to forgive. I choose to release. Mm-hmm. As an act of my will, I'm making a decision here. I want to change. I'm tired of going around in this circle of depression.
That's right.
And you are responsible for your feelings. You're responsible for your life.
I talk about Cain and Abel in Genesis 4, and how Abel brought a gift of his favorite lamb for an offering, and God absolutely was delighted with that offering. And after a while, Cain came and brought some of his harvest, some of the crops that he had raised. And God was not pleased with that because Cain had waited and Cain had not brought his first fruits. He had not brought his best to the Lord. He'd brought probably blemished things. God was not delighted with Cain's offering. And Cain became jealous of his brother and he became very angry and he became depressed. It says in the fifth verse of the fourth chapter of Genesis. And the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? Why are you depressed? Or why has your countenance fallen? And if you do well, this is God's message to you today. If you do well, will not your depression be lifted? Will not your countenance be lifted up? If you do not do well, sin is crouching at your door and its desire is for you, but you can master it. The very next thing that Cain did, Darren, he went out to Abel. He didn't pray. He didn't seek God. God said, Cain, you can master this thing. You can handle it. You are in control. And you can come and bring me a great offering, and I will be pleased with you as I am with your brother Abel. What did Cain do? Uh-uh. He did the very opposite. He went out to his brother Abel, and he killed him. He murdered him. He didn't have that control of the spirit. And we're saying you can either go to God, run to God, who is the loving God, or you can run away from God. And I'll tell you, if you run away from God, only evil consequences are there to face you. I mean, there's nothing good that's going to happen to you if you run away from God. God is your source. God is your creator, and he's very loving.
You know, there's a scripture going along with that. In Hebrews 12:15, it says, see to it that no one comes short of the grace of God, that no root of bitterness springing up causes trouble, and by it many be defiled. Sometimes we get resentful that we're in these situations. God, this is just too hard for me. Why are you letting this happen to me? Why are you dumping on me? Why are you shortchanging me? Why are you blessing everybody else? Look at that guy over there. He doesn't even go to church.
That's right.
And it just seems like he's blessed.
It does. Well, sometimes it does.
That's been a complaint of the righteous all through Scripture. If you read the book of Job, Job's saying, how come they're so blessed? And they don't even worship you, Father. Well, you have to make a decision that you're not going to get into a root of bitterness because of resentment.
That's right.
And you have to take that thing on and say, this monster is going to get me if I don't make a decision and take some action.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we put out the scripture cards called the Power Pack. If you don't have those, they're $5. They come out in a cassette case, and that'll tell you that it'll fit right in your pocket or in your purse or on the visor of your car. But you need to speak the word of God.
Oh, we've gotten so many great letters, Darren, with people saying, hey, I carry my Power Pack with me.
Amen.
And it has changed my life in the last 6 months. Well, praise the Lord. It's not the Power Pack. It's the word of God in that Power Pack. And it's you putting action to those words. You are part of that solution. That's what's so amazing. You read the word and your words become powerful. Oh, in the midst of diversity, in the midst of adversity, in the midst of tribulation.
Now, this new Rotherham translation that I was given for Christmas, here's what it says, and I'll quote, first of all, the New American Standard.
Well, it's not new Rotherham.
Well, okay,
yeah,
Rotherham, I'm sorry.
It's an old Rotherham.
Okay, it really is old.
It really is old.
But it's so accurate, and here's what it says. Cast not away your freedom of speech, for it has a great reward. Now, why is that so special? And we were talking about this early this morning at our house, and we were saying, you know, one thing television has done to us is it keeps us from reacting. We sit there and watch, and we're watchers, and we're not participators.
That's right.
We're spectators. If you're going to get involved here with God's Word, you have to become a speaker of the Word. Cast not away your privilege of speech. You need to know that that's a privilege of, or the freedom of speech, I should say. Cast not away your freedom of speech, for it has great recompense, or it has great reward. You need to be speaking the Word of God, and let me tell you, there's nobody in our listening audience, Barbara, that would fail if they speak the word of the Lord. Nobody.
Mm-hmm.
and you need to start speaking the right things and stop stirring around. See, I know how it works with many people that are depressed. You're either going in the circle in your mind, in your heart, running all the scenarios.
That's right.
All the regrets, all the remorse, all the flashbacks. You're replaying all of the failures, all of the missed opportunities. Let me tell you, that is a dead issue. You need to have a funeral for that thing. Now, I used to take people and I'd say, oh, I want you to write this all down on a piece of paper. Maybe they write down all their sins, all their failures, all their worries. And I say, all right, now, we're going to burn that thing. And we put a match to it. Mm-hmm. And we burn it up right there
Praise
in front of
God.
Them. Burn the whole piece of paper.
And don't mention it again.
Don't mention it. This is your burial ceremony.
That's right.
You're going to get rid of this thing. Whatever you have to do, but you need to do something. You've got to make a move in the right direction, in a positive direction. Or it may be that you want to tear it up and then flush it down the toilet. I've had people do that also. Bury that thing. But you have to make a decision to stop talking about it and stop doing the loop. Or it's going to get worse and worse and worse. You need to get over to the Word of God. In fact, I would recommend this. Take Psalm 91 and all through Psalm 91. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Read that out loud. Read it again. Read it a third time. You can't read Scripture without that Word of God becoming alive to you and changing your life and your circumstances,
mm-hmm.
changing your attitude about life. And some of you just have a dirty windshield. Let me say that again. Some of you are just looking through a dirty windshield. You need to clean that up with the Word of God so that you can see your life accurately and begin to hear the Word of God and His counsel for you. Mm-hmm. He did not send Jesus Christ to die on the cross so you could fail.
That's right.
He wants you to win. Another scripture I'd advise you to get and memorize is Joshua 1:8. It says, if you meditate the word, in other words, if you speak and mumble the word day and night, you will be prosperous and successful. And that solves those things.
People say, how can you do that, Darren? You can't speak the word day and night.
Oh, yes, you can.
Yes, we have a spirit. And most of us, the spirit's the last one. We have the physical and the soul, and then the spirit comes in very last, third place in most of our lives. Well, the spirit should be in control. It should be number one. Our spirit should be fed all the time with the Word of God and with good things and not evil and wicked things. We should have spirit, soul, and then body should be the third. But we got it all turned around. Well, in our spirit, we can meditate without even speaking. Darren, I know people at work that meditate during their work and they don't even talk, but they meditate continually in their spirit day and night.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.